The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey there, classmates. Tune in to Middle Class Film Class every Monday and Wednesday for weekly movie news, streaming picks, and one deep dive review.
The Batman trailer. There was a teaser. There was a trailer. Trailer 1, trailer 2, final trailer. I don't know if it's the same one. How many trailers do we need?
Exactly.
Leave an email or a voicemail to join in the discussion.
Bullshit artist.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. You're going full Danzig.
Right, I am. My trans
you have no power over me.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 333. I hope all is well with you, and I'd like to thank you for checking out this episode of the PVD Cast. I'm very stoked to bring you this episode, but I'm also a little bit concerned in regards to the promotion of this episode, and let me explain what I mean by that. This past weekend was the return of the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo, also known as SPACE. It's an annual comic book convention for indie creators that's held every year in Columbus, Ohio. And obviously, for the last couple of years, it's looked a little different because of the pandemic. But this was the first year that we're back to normal, so to speak, where you could physically go and see the creators and see their creations. You could pick up some cool comics and whatnot. So I'm stoked that I got the opportunity to go this weekend. I'm stoked that I got to talk to some friends, some old friends. I've made some new friends. And I guess that's where I'm a little bit concerned about the promotion of this episode, because I have 13 guests joining me here for episode 333. Albeit there are short conversations, but I'm not sure when I go to promote this episode, how I'm going to do that on Twitter. you know, Facebook, Instagram, you got all the space in the world. Twitter, I don't know how I'm going to get 13 names and all the information and everything out on a single tweet. But you know what? That's a problem for me to have, and I guess that's a good problem to have. In fact, let me run down my guests that you're going to hear on this episode. Joel Kramer, Aaron Lindemann, Ken Epstein, Mike Eshelman, Emily Klaus, Tom Felrath, Molly Durst, the Columbus Scribbler crew of Steve Steiner, Brian Canini, and Jack Wallace, Stephen Hines, Jay Caligayan, Matt Calvert, and of course the man that makes it all possible, Bob Corby. So, got a lot of cool conversations to get to, so I'm going to go right into my sponsor real quick and thank them for supporting the PVD Cast and yours truly. And of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. World's Greatest Comics has got everything you want and need for your collection. They've got single issues, they've got graphic novels, they've got toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a great pool system, comic book supplies. They got you covered, man. And if you're in the Central Ohio area and you want to pick up an edition of the Columbus Scribbler, as you'll hear about in a few moments, they're an outlet for that great newspaper as well. So check them out by stopping over to the store, 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio is their street address. Or you can find them online. Just go to wgcomics.com or find them on Facebook. Search for at WG Comics. And once again, I'd like to thank so much the fine folks at World's Greatest for being a sponsor of the PVD Cast. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversations with many of the talented creators at the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo. Folks, Folks, I am here with Joel Kramer. Joel, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. How has space been treating you?
It has been an amazing space this time. I mean, it's always been good, but this time especially. I mean, this is probably the best show I've had.
Cool. Well, let's recap a little bit because it's been a few years. I probably would imagine if I go back in the catalog. And isn't that weird? Like it's been a few years, but you know, with 2020 and COVID and everything.
We don't talk about 2020.
I know. Well, let's recap the adventures of Hanzi and Joel. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about what that project's all about?
Okay, so it's a alternate universe where aliens came down in ancient times and changed history to where there's now humans and animal people together. And this is now the modern day where Hanzi, he's a pygmy dragon and Joel's a human. And they're a group of detectives that go around fighting aliens, supervillains, mad scientists, mermaids, you name it, it's in there, or it will be. So yeah.
So, and it's a little bit more geared towards kids, right? It's very kid-friendly.
Yeah, and adults would enjoy it just as well. So,
But, and you've told me that you've gotten a lot of very positive feedback about the comic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. People talk about, they like the lightheartedness of it, the humor, and also the heart to it. You know, you have the friendship theme going on, and you have the good guys saving the world from the bad guys, all that good stuff. So
that's cool. So, yeah. Well, you have some new projects since the last time we've talked, and you know, speaking of children's books, you have some new ones that are maybe even for younger children. So
yeah.
Fill us in.
Okay, there's a book called Apples to Zebras. It's a teaching kids their ABCs through like pictures and words, and it's meant for the parents to read with the kids or the kids learning to read. And my other book that just came out a couple weeks ago is called So Many Things to Count, where I take you through numbers 1 through 20 and teach you, like, using visuals how to do your numbers.
Okay. So,
and it's, like I said, it's meant for little kids, but, you know, I think all people would enjoy it. You know.
Do you have any plans to do something a little more for adults? You know, I mean, like I said, Hanzi and Joel, very much for kids, as is your new project.
Yeah.
Any future plans to do something a little more for just adults only?
There is. I've been toying with this for several years. It's more of a, you know, I got to get started on it kind of thing.
Okay.
So I've had ideas written down. I have kind of this idea for a sci-fi, more of a graphic novel. I need to hammer out the details for it, but it'd be much more adult in theme.
I mean,
not like swearing or anything.
Yeah, right.
Just
yeah,
in general,
right.
Like, yeah. You know, that's the first place I go.
You know, when you were talking, I was like, wait a minute, I should clarify. We mean adult, we mean for adults, not like triple X.
No,
we're not talking that. We're talking
adults would enjoy it more.
Right, there you go.
More mature themes, yeah.
There you have it. There you go. So, where can folks find you on the internet, social media, and all that jazz?
Okay, you can go to joelkramercomics.com. That's Joel Kramer with a C, C-R-A-M-E-R, comics. You can also go do a search for me on Amazon Kindle. All the books are now available on Kindle in digital format.
Ooh, cool.
So that's cool. On Facebook, just look up Facebook, Hanzi and Joel. Everything, you can keep updated on me, like what I'm doing. I talk about the show updates. I talk about where I'm at in the book, like even what pages I'm working on that day. I like sometimes post pictures, that kind of thing. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome deal. Joel, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Appreciate
thanks.
It.
So, folks, I have found a gentleman that has been referenced many times on the PBD cast, and I'm finally going to get a chance to talk to him live in person. Aaron Lindemann, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
And many people may know that name because you are the artist for Zombie Fabulous, the fantastically evil book from one Mr. Stephen Hines. So what was it like working with Stephen?
Well, working with Stephen is a trip. You know, he's he's got a personality. And but I have to say, he's a joy to work with.
Cool. It's a fantastic tale. You know, I'm a big fan of the book. I think it turned out wonderfully. But what were some of the challenges of creating the art for that tale?
There's, you know, obviously you want to do justice to the subject matter. You want to make sure that you're capturing all of the intensity of the script. I don't know if he told you, but Zombie Fabulous was actually the first project that I worked on for anybody other than myself.
Oh, okay.
And so I learned a lot about drawing comics just in general, working on the process, and I feel like over the course of drawing the three issues, I sort of came a long way as an artist.
Did you feel extra pressure on yourself because this was the first project you've worked on for somebody else rather than your own projects?
Oh yeah, there's definitely the pressure to perform. And while I was pleased with the result when I finished the first issue, in retrospect, you know, it was not the best work in the world, which is why for the collected version, he had me go back and draw the first issue over again so that it was more in line with the artwork that I made for the second and third issues.
Okay. Let's talk about a project you have here at the table, The Fisherman. I'm already interested, being the wrestling nerd that I am, because it has a luchador in it, but I'm not going to do it justice. Tell the folks all about it.
So The Fisherman is a comic about Mexican wrestling, and it's a fantasy comic about monsters. It was largely inspired by a series of movies that were made in Mexico starring a luchador named El Santo, and he would fight, you know, werewolves, vampires, witches, that sort of thing. They're really entertaining, and they made like 60 of them. And watching those made me want to, you know, tell a similar story about luchadors fighting monsters and supernatural creatures, and that's how it came to be.
So is the it shows on the cover of issue number 2 that it seems that there's a pirate involved. Is that the main antagonist?
That is the main antagonist for this particular story arc, yes. It's a pirate, but also a ghost. So,
all right, awesome. So I got to ask, you're obviously a fan of those style of movies, the El Santo. Are you a fan of wrestling in general?
I am, and particularly one of the newer promotions that started recently called Lucha Underground is just amazing to watch.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Sadly, no longer around, though. I think they did 4 seasons or 5 seasons? I can't remember.
Yeah, it wasn't very long-lived, but it was great while it lasted.
Awesome. Well, Aaron, let everybody know where they can follow you on social media, website, all that jazz.
Oh, yeah, I can be found on Twitter, Instagram. My website is lindemanart.com, and all of my various social media information is linked there.
All right, thanks, man, for taking just a few minutes to talk to me today.
Absolutely, thank you.
Thank you. Folks, I'm being joined by two individuals here at Space. Ken Epstein, how you doing?
I'm doing great, how are you?
I'm doing good. And Mike Eshelman, correct?
Correct, yes.
All right, how are you, man?
Oh, it's fantastic, having a great time.
Well, let's Mike, start with you first. You have several different comics here on the table, and you also are a podcaster, so let's talk about your comics first. So tell us a little bit about your projects.
Most of my work are horror books that are sort of social commentary. So I've delved into toxic masculinity, social media, American exceptionalism, you know, boring topics like that, and I try and make them scary and people die.
Oh, okay. How's the feedback on those? Like, I mean, in all seriousness, when somebody takes one of your books, buys it, and goes home, and they read it, do you get feedback about, you know, whether it was good or bad or whatnot?
Yeah, absolutely I do. In fact, I try to push myself as a writer. So one of my books, God Complex, I tried to make the reader the antagonist of the story. So okay. That was my challenge to myself. So yeah, I do get feedback, not necessarily on the content, but on how I present the story.
Okay, cool. All right. And now you also shared with me that you are a man of many podcasts, and I can empathize. Let's talk a little bit about some of them.
Well, let me kick into my DJ voice then for that. A buddy of mine, Tom Arnhold, and I started the Bum's Corner podcast network. We have about 5 different shows on there that are mostly comedy, delving into looking into our past high school years, as well as couple music-related podcasts.
You know what? It's very fitting because we're here at the Rhodes Center, and it is kind of like a high school. I mean, the way this building is made. Is there a fallout shelter, Ken? Did you find one?
I haven't seen a sign, so I haven't gone looking. But I have, as I told you when we walked up, seen some mysterious stuff.
Oh, that's a whole other stuff. There, look, let's not beat around the bush. There's showers in the men's room. And Ken said that there's a chair sitting in there facing the shower.
There was.
There was, that's right.
And then it disappeared middle of the day.
So who knows what's going on in the men's showers?
I don't know. Well, and you know, that it's the fairground, so it has the added element of there could be livestock involved. I don't mean to take it, you know, that much further.
Well, you know what?
Seeing as half the jokes I make in my drawings are about bestiality anyway.
Well, that's true. And you know, you don't know. Maybe when we leave, there will be a cow out there with a chair in its mouth. Who knows?
There might be.
So, Ken, let's talk about some of your projects. You know, how are Nick's comics going?
You know, it's been a little different the past couple of years.
And how?
Yeah. Well, I meant Mixed Comics as opposed to society and physical and mental health. But, you know, there's been a little bit more of a focus of me needing to personalize the comics a little bit and do more zines. And unfortunately, kind of, I used to have a regular job and it didn't matter if the comics made money, but now I kind of need them too. So
understandable.
So there's been a change. I don't do as much collaborative stuff anymore because, you know, I've always been strongly in favor of making sure everybody who collaborates with me gets paid. But if I don't have a day job, that guarantee gets shaky. So I don't do it. But the bright side of that, or the silver lining of that, is you know, being in a state of semi-employment and pandemic isolation, I've had a lot of time to work on my own art. So I've done a lot of kind of record collecting related art, like drawing picture sleeves for records that didn't have them anymore, and a lot of experimental drawing where I draw with my eyes closed and two hands at once or something like that.
You've also dabbled in some painting, correct? Some digital painting, if I remember correctly?
Yeah. And that was a throwback to the early 90s when I lived in Boston. I started an internet consultancy firm with a bunch of friends before people even knew what the internet was. And they ended up not needing me because I couldn't program. But what I did a lot was to kind of soothe myself and get my artist, you know, you're doing graphic design, you need your own artistic thing. I would just take some basic shapes and run filters and brushes and different effects over them until it came up with an abstract that I felt, you know, resonated with me some way emotionally or whatever. And I picked that up again at the beginning of the isolation period for the pandemic. And I did one a day, which is something I couldn't do back then because it used to be you'd start a Photoshop filter and, you know, you walk away and drink a six pack and come back.
Yeah.
You know, and then hate it and undo. and it undoes very quick, of course. But now I found I could do these in a sort of quick way and come up with something really interesting like every day. I did, as part of my last Kickstarter, do a set of all of them. Like 10 sets of all of them, and sold those, and now I'm down to just kind of some of the extras.
Okay. Well, Mike, got any projects coming up that you want to talk about, plug real quick here?
A friend of mine has got me turned on to AI artwork, so I'm doing an experiment of a 32-page horror book, and all of the artwork will be created by an AI.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So I wish I could say I'll have it ready this summer, but highly doubt it. Stop by bumscorner.com. I should have information posted on there, or track me down on Facebook and just keep an eye on it, but it's going to be out there soon.
Okay, so bumscorner.com is the best place to find out what you're doing.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right, how about you, Ken?
Well, I have enough, or nearly enough, of my picture sleeve drawings to do another printed volume of the collected artwork.
Okay.
And another record collecting zine in the bag. So those will be coming out by August, I would think, when I'm going to be downtown Columbus at the Block Fort Studios during their opening night for an exhibit. So I'll be actually playing the records and displaying all the art.
When is that? When is that again?
It's August.
Well, here, how can
it's
folks...
the beginning of the month.
Okay.
If you look up Block Fort in Columbus, they'll have that schedule on their website.
Or I was going to say, maybe check out with your social media.
And follow me on social media. It's at Nick's Comics, most of them. And that's Nick's with an S. X.
There you go. So, all right, gentlemen, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.
All right, I'm sitting down with Emily Klaus.
That's right.
Emily, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
You are probably the farthest in terms of distance of somebody I've spoke to. You're from L.A.?
I live in L.A. currently, but I am from Ohio, so feels very hometown familiar to me.
What part of Ohio, may I ask?
Western Ohio, Salina.
Okay, yeah. All right, okay, yeah. Familiar with. So can I ask, why'd you go to L.A.?
Great question. My parents are wondering the same thing. But I'm an adult and I make my decisions. I have always dreamed of being a television writer, and I said, you know what, if no one believes in you, you gotta believe in yourself. No, I lived in Chicago. After I lived in Ohio, I joined the Peace Corps, came back, moved to Chicago, did a ton of like improv and sketch stuff at Second City and IO, places like that.
Cool.
So got really into it, loved performing, loved writing, and I decided that I wanted to move to LA and see what's up with the industry. Yeah.
So then how did you transition from that to making comics, if I may ask?
Totally. Always loved comics as a kid.
Okay.
So I started making comics when I lived in Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah, so I met some people in this community, like literally 10 years ago. Did some indie comics fairs. One was at like Ace of Cups.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember that.
Yeah, so I had some mini comics. I like had some compilations that I had just been posting on like Tumblr or whatever the social media site of like 2010 was. And I mean, comics are a great way to, if you're someone like me who aspires to make TV shows or like movies, but you don't have the resources, or maybe even know the right people yet, you can put it in comic form and it can be the same thing. You can make sketches that are like sketch comedy. You can make them into a comic, right?
And right.
So like you can just be the person, you can be the director, the writer, the DP, you know, the editor. You can be everything yourself. So.
And you don't need millions of dollars to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your comic that you have here at the show, if you will.
Sure,
I'm going to let you go ahead and tell the listeners all about it.
I'm going to like hold it up.
Sure, go ahead.
The listeners can't see this. It'll help me feel like I'm selling it.
There you go.
So this is what we have here. It's the first late night show after Rapture. I believe it's 94 pages. So I wrote and drew this over the course of 2021. I put it out monthly in segments, so each part of the comic, each chapter is a segment of a late night show. So like it starts with the monologue, you have a C-list celebrity interview, you have a wild animal segment, but the zookeeper has been raptured. Okay, long story short, there was a rapture overnight and it took all the happy and successful people of the world. So the host of Still Awake with Timmy Cake, has a small existential crisis. He knew he was unhappy, but he didn't know that he was so unsuccessful, that his show was so bad, until this rapture happened, and they struggle to get guests. He struggles to keep it together. Other people are having a great time.
So
it's a little existential. It's a little slightly inspired by the pandemic. Again, I wrote it in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
My friend described it as, it's about finding joy while everyone is disappearing, which I think is a lot more poetic than the actual, like, dick jokes are.
Yeah, Which, by the way, is labeled as PG-15, for various different dick jokes.
Exactly.
We'll just leave it at that. Yeah. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
But varied. They are varied. It's not the same dick joke over and over
again. Oh, well.
You said various.
Okay, true. Touché. You got me on that one. So where can folks find the book? Where can folks order it? Whatnot?
Great question. I haven't sold it online yet, but I'm going to after this. Yes.
Okay.
So emilyclouse.com, EmilyClouse.
Okay.
I recently was called the second best cartoonist named Klaus because of Daniel Klaus. That one's for the real comic nerds out there. But I'll put my book on there and I'll mail it happily to anyone who wants it.
Where can folks find you online, like social media and stuff like that?
Totally, yeah. Emily F. Klaus, there's an F in there sometimes. Instagram, Twitter, emilyklaus.com.
Okay. I was wondering if you were like, wait, MySpace? No.
I was like, Pinterest. I was like, why am I thinking about Pinterest? I don't know.
Well, Emily, thanks for taking a few moments out of your day here at Space to talk with me.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with Tom Fellrath. Tom, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. It's my first small press trade show since 1987. So I'm having a great time learning about everything that's going on in Columbus.
Well, so you told me off air that you were, you know, heavily into the independent scene for a while, and then you took a time out. Now you're back, so to speak. Is that an accurate statement?
More or less, yeah. I did it. I was in the small press scene a lot in high school. I lived out in the Boston area and outside of Worcester, Massachusetts. And then kind of got away from it when I went to college, and then now I'm back. Basically having picked it back up since my kids were home with COVID and I had to find something better to do with my time.
And you came up with a really cool idea. So you have Heroes Now, which is your superhero anthology, correct?
Yep.
And you kind of, with your return to comics, have taken those original characters and aged them.
Yep, just like myself. And exactly. So to give a great example, I've got five characters, six including the sidekick for one of them. And one of those characters is a teen girl super hero as of 1986-87 who became the fastest girl alive. And that was back then. Her name is Accelerator. And to give you an example of what's happened to her now, in Heroes Now number one, she is an empty nester who has dropped her last kid off at college. She did everything she wanted to do with her life by lunchtime, and she's bored out of her mind, and she's trying to figure out where to go. So she decides to go save the day once more.
And that happened with all of your characters. Like you said that you had a Captain America-esque type of character, and he has kind of moved on and had new challenges and whatnot. And so I think this is a really cool idea because I don't think we see that oftentimes. I mean, Superman hasn't aged in what? 50-some-odd years,
no,
right?
He hasn't. Not at all. No, and you're talking about the Captain America one is called Patriot, and his sidekick, Jeff, which you'll understand why if you read the Patriot book, his sidekick is the focus of the new one, and the original Patriot isn't really in the modern day in the book. And this character, Jeff, wakes up in a halfway house with a dad bod, and he's got a counselor asking, what happened to your life? And so we trace the story of Patriot and Jeff over a 30-plus year time frame. And it's kind of like Forrest Gump meets Warren Spy Stories.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit about how you map out an issue, because I'm always curious about the creative process for that. So tell us a little bit, when do you sit down? Do you kind of outline things and then go in depth even more? Or I know some people like to make note cards and that. So talk to us a little bit about how do you map out an issue?
Sure. Well, what I try to do first is come up with what the core concept is going to be. And with the Patriot one, it was about kind of reflecting what's happened on my life over 30 years. I'm an old government poli-sci major. I followed the news for 30 years. And so I thought, let's use these characters and run them through the lens of my experience. Now, of course, I didn't go to Iraq or Honduras or Libya or anywhere else, but I followed that stuff in the news. So that's kind of what I did. With the Accelerator character, the empty nest issue is something that, I mean, I'm now over 50 years old. It's time to start thinking about what am I going to do when my kids finish college. So that's kind of the beginning. Then what I do is I write, if you will, a concept page, a thesis statement. What am I trying to do? What's the idea of the story? I do a real rough overview of the plot, where I want to go, and then I also throw in some technical notes. For example, every character now has to look older. They can't look like they're a 20-year-old Superman anymore.
Right, right.
So I tell them, you know, put on a couple of wrinkles. Add a little thickness to their bodies and that type of stuff. And then sometimes I talk about things like flashbacks and how to handle that. Then I just start going page by page, and I take a rough page by page plot breakdown, and then I'll start breaking it into panels, and then we dialogue it.
So you keep saying we. Let's talk about the other member of the team, if you will. Tony, is it pronounced Lorenz?
Tony Lorenz helped me on the Patriot book. Scott McClung helped me with the Accelerator story. But I've had people from all over helping on different stories. I'm not an artist. I cannot draw. my 9-year-old daughter is here at the show with me, and she's laughing at how bad of an artist I am. But I do write, and I can publish, and I actually have started to learn how to do lettering via computer with InDesign and the like. So I find people who want to work with me as a fellow hobbyist, and we come together and draw. And he draws, working off my script and plot, and then we work together, make sure everything fits right, and we're off to the races.
There you go. Any upcoming projects you want to plug real quick?
Well, the next book I'm doing, I'm trying to get it down. I'll have a special issue here and there. Everybody does. Mm-hmm. But what I'm really trying to do is get down to 3 core books. The first one is Hologram. It's my mini comic series, which is trying to watch this character go through 30 years of change, having gone turned into basically a ghost. And so there's a lot of change that happens in one's life when you can't touch anything anymore.
Yeah,
exactly.
When you're dead,
well,
there's some changes.
Well, but is he dead? And we haven't right. figured that yeah, out sure. yet. But functionally, he's a ghost. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't eat. He can fly. He can do all sorts of things. But he also can't touch his wife anymore. He mm-hmm. can't eat food with her. He can't sleep at night. And so he gets bored sitting around for hours on end. So we've got issues that he has to work through. So Hologram is one. Heroes Now is going to be my kind of omnibus of hero stories. Mm-hmm. And then my last one is Strange Times. And my goal is, Hologram is on kind of cruise control. And so that one's taken care of. I've got an artist. We're working together. William Cadell is great. We're just putting it out as he's done with his work. It's already been scripted through the first art. Heroes Now is the next one. I'm working on scripts. I've got one arc going right now with the first issue, and I'm working on putting in a second one for the second issue. My next book, though, is Strange Times number 2. And that Strange Times is a variation on the Far Eastern saying, may you live in interesting times, because we live in interesting times. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of weirdness going on, and so it's a great use for a catch-all anthology. Issue number 1 is out. It was a combination between an artist out of San Jose, Alan Greening, and me. And we did a kind of EC sci-fi horror-esque story with a fun Twilight Zone type twist ending. And he's got some pinup art in there as well. He's a really accomplished artist, both with some nice kind of detailed, what they call it, procreate work, but also he's a wonderful cartoonist. So that's neat. Strange Times 2, my basic idea for it is going to be the question of who are you? Okay. And by that, I'm talking about identity. Because we have a lot of discussion in this world right now about identity politics mm-hmm. and about the value of our skin or our religion or our interest in comics.
Okay.
And so I'm playing with who are you? And what I'm doing is looking for artists to work with me on somehow trying to convey those types of stories. I've got one very short story in the drawer right now, and after that I've got the cover set, and I'm going to be starting to go out and look and see what else people want to do. So if anybody's interested, let me know.
Can they do that real quick? Interrupt for a minute, how can they get in touch with you, man?
That's fine. They can get in touch with me at my email, tdfellrath, that's F like Frank, ELLRATH, and that's at yahoo.com. My website is phoenixprods@wordpress.com. That's Phoenix, like the city, and then PRODS at word, .wordpress.com. Those are the 2 ways to get a hold of me.
There you go. Well, Tom, thanks very much, man, for talking to me. I appreciate it.
I'm going to interrupt for just one moment to talk about a great sponsor of the PVD cast, World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, a clean store, a friendly staff, a great pool system. They got it all. So, if you're in the Central Ohio area, you need to stop by the store. 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio is their street address. Or you could check them out online. WGComics.com is their website, and they're even on Facebook. Just search for @WGComics.
Ladies and gentlemen, I ran into another favorite guest of mine, Molly Durst. How are you, Molly?
Good. How are you, John?
I'm doing well. Doing well. How's space treating you?
It's been a good show. It always is.
Okay. You have a lot of new projects to talk about, so
yeah.
Let's tell the listeners a little bit about some of them.
Well, I spent a lot of quarantine working on sketch cards, and I think one of the convenient things about sketch cards is I can do a mail order and send them through the post office. So I have different themes for different fandoms in my sketch cards. Like, I've got Mario, I've got Spider-Man, I've got Loki, and the alligator Loki, of course, like everybody loves alligator Loki. I have a couple new 11 by 17 prints. I started working on some fairy tale 11 by 17s, and I'm going to keep that going for a little while. Right now I have a Little Red Riding Hood, and she's fighting like this werewolf version of the Big Bad Wolf, so it's kind of fun. And Cinderella, I think the next one I'm going to do is Jack and the Beanstalk, and I'm just going to keep going from there.
Cool. Well, you have also, of course, Geeks Next Door, Science versus Zombies. I don't know the last time you were on if we talked about that one.
Yeah,
refresh my memory if we did or not.
I don't think we talked about that one.
Okay.
So this one was a lot of fun. I have a friend whose name is Sarah Peters. Now, technically, she is Dr. Sarah Peters, but when she was in grad school, one of her sisters claimed that she would be absolutely useless in a zombie apocalypse, and I decided that that was not true because she was working in a pharmacy at the time, and I thought she would be very, very helpful in a zombie apocalypse. So I decided to make a story. Mostly, this is the main character here looks very much like my friend Sarah Peters, and she not only fights zombies, but she also saves a puppy in the process.
Oh. All right. She's clearly is the best hero ever.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
obviously.
I mean, zombies and saves a puppy.
If I was going into the zombie apocalypse, I would definitely want her and the frickin' puppy, too.
That's right. There you go. Well, how about let's refresh some of the listeners on what Geeks Next Door is all about.
Geeks Next Door is a very fun series. When I was doing a lot of comic book conventions, I kept seeing all of these pinups, and the pinups, like, I thought that the girls looked like they were just miserable, and they didn't look like real people either. Like, they need to have things like a rib cage and, like, organs. Like, you physically cannot see the entirety of someone's breasts and the entirety of someone's buttocks at the same time. It's a physical impossibility, unless they're doing some kind of weird exorcist thing. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do pinups. I'm going to do them my way. I'm going to make them fun. I'm going to make them funny. I'm going to make the girls look like they're having a good time. And I'm going to make them look like the kind of girl that you could talk to about fun, nerdy stuff.
Okay, cool. How about Zodiac Reimagined? I know we kind of touched a little bit about that last time around, but just again, what's that project all about?
Zodiac Reimagined is in a collection of sketches, like, so it's not a traditional comic with like sequential art and like a story,
mm-hmm.
but each zodiac sign is reimagined in my own style, and I had created it as a piece that I had printed as a canvas painting for Marcon, which was nice because then I was able to do all 12 zodiac signs on the same canvas board, but I reproduced it also as a companion book so that you could get each zodiac on its own individual page.
Favorite zodiac individual to work on?
Well, that's kind of a hard one. I mean, I had a lot of fun with a lot of these. I did really like Leo the Lion.
Okay.
I always liked Aslan from Narnia before I found out that he was fantasy Jesus.
Okay.
Which is still fine, but my dad got me a stuffed lion when I was a kid, and I just thought it would be really cool. Leos are very dapper and charismatic, so I wanted to make the lion like really look like he was a fun gentleman.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's probably my favorite piece in here.
Cool. Well, Molly, let's let everybody know where they can follow you on social media, websites, stuff like that. So if you have anything new coming up, they can keep in the loop and whatnot.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, you guys can follow me on Facebook at Geek Out Art.
There you go. Simple to the point. Molly, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm sitting down with three guys from the Columbus Scribbler, Jack Wallace, Brian Canini, Steve Steiner. How you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Hey, good.
What's up, John?
Just another wonderful experience here at Space.
Yeah, you having a good time? You having a good show?
I am having a good time. I'm just talking to so many cool people.
Yeah.
Including you three.
That's kind of what space is all about. Yeah. All the best creators from all over the the United States. Actually, I would say I've met people from Wisconsin. I've met people from Texas. We've had quite a few people.
Ontario, Canada, even.
That's right.
Drove 8 hours to come here.
Yeah.
Just coming to Columbus to hang out.
And getting across the border, I mean, that shows commitment. If you're gonna do that, come across the border.
Yeah. They might not be able to make it back. I don't know.
Depends on what comics they bought.
Yeah. Depends.
All right. So you're saying you guys have comics that are banned in Canada? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, we don't.
Oh.
But maybe.
We'll stop by the booth by now.
Underground.
I'm not going to say I'm going to call the border patrol on you, but you never know.
You know, what's the number for the Border Patrol, Steve? We'll put you on the spot.
No, it's not on my hard drive. I know that.
All right, let's talk about the Scribbler.
Yeah.
For those folks that may be ignorant to what the heck that is, fill us in. What is the Columbus Scribbler?
It's Columbus's free comics newspaper. The goal is to kind of pay homage and make Columbus the great comics town that it already is. And
yeah, the Columbus Scribbler, it's a free comic book newspaper that we use to highlight the local creators of the city. We have all kinds of different sections. We have a how-to section. We have reviews. We have interviews with other creators. We have a kids' corner section, so kids can submit their own. We have a meet the people, where we turn somebody from Columbus into a comic. All kinds of stuff. So we're
history
trying,
of comics.
Yeah. Lots of submissions from all kinds of creators throughout the city and throughout Central Ohio. So everybody gets paid for their work, and we distribute it through about three different, probably more than 30 different places throughout the city for free. Lots of libraries, lots of restaurants. Comic shops as you can do. And the goal is to really get the public more interested into the comics medium. It's our love letter to comics.
And to inspire people to make comics that maybe haven't picked up a pen before.
And I think it's unique that it's a newspaper. It's a legit newspaper, which I think makes it stand out even more. You know, not only the great content, but also the fact that it looks different. That people might go into a comic store and go, "What is this?" Mm-hmm. You know, because let's be honest, I haven't picked up a copy of the Columbus Dispatch in like 5 years.
Right.
Do they still, I'm being dead serious, do they still even print them? Because I don't know
if they print them. They lay in my neighbor's yard all the time.
All right, well, let's talk about your guys' independent project. So, Steve, what do you want to highlight so far? Got anything new coming out?
Well, keeping in the newspaper vein, I'm making a series of large format newspaper comic booklets called Odd Clods. They're just very odd graphic design oriented comics, very visually interesting, I hope. It's a good way to put it. I have some more like experimental collage comics I worked on during lockdown. So during lockdown, my wife and I were both laid off, and then we both had jobs, and then the jobs fell through because the state closed up, so I channeled that time and energy into making very strange collage comics. And so those are my main things I'm working on right now, besides the Scribbler.
Brian, how about you?
Okay. too many things. I'll have a one-man anthology called Airbag, which will contain a bunch of short stories. That'll be coming out for TCAF in June. I'm also working on my sci-fi book, Plastic People, which is about a future LA where plastic surgery is mandatory and a serial killer shows up. Simultaneously, I'm working on my other series called Applewood Canyon, which is just a satire on America and the suburbs. And then I've got my slice of life autobio comic, Glimpses of Life, that features journal comics and other various autobio stuff. And then the Scribbler. And then a family.
In that order.
Family last. Family last. Comics before all.
All right, Jack, how about you?
The latest thing I finished was a book called Chimera. It's a graphic novel about four kids who travel to a fantasy world where they meet fantasy versions of themselves. They become superheroes, they become jungle animals, they become knights and robots. And so they have to escape against a woman named Izzy who's kind of keeping them at the island in order to get back home.
All right, gentlemen, thanks for sitting down with me and chatting with me.
John, thank you for being a sincere a proponent for the Comic City, for Columbus Comics community.
Hey, you know.
That's a big deal for us.
Yeah, I mean, and thank you very much for the compliment. But, you know, as I say all the time, I think the independent thoughts and ideas and projects that people come up with are the best ones.
Yeah, but you, like us, you highlight the Columbus community, and we appreciate that.
Quite welcome, man. All right.
I guess I should mention, for the Columbus Scribbler, we did just get nominated for the Eisner Award.
Oh, congratulations again. Yes, so that'll be number two.
Our second nomination.
Okay.
Best comics-based periodical in journalism. So we'll be getting to go to Comic-Con.
All right.
And for anybody who's listening who wants to submit a comic, submissions are due July 1st, and we also have a competition in there, which you can find out more about on our website.
Cool. All right. What's that website? ColumbusScribbler.com?
You got it.
You got it.
Hey, what can I say? I'm good. All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Well, I have found one of the troublemakers here at Space. It is Stephen Hines. Stephen, how's it going?
I know you are, but what am I?
Real mature, man. Real mature.
I know you are, but what am I?
Oh, my goodness.
Here we go.
Seriously, how's Space been?
Oh, it's been a little slow, but I think partially due to the switch in venues. But that happens any time a show switches from one venue to another. And usually takes a little dip in attendance, and then it comes right back. So, but you know, I can't complain.
You know, one thing about this venue, it's the Rhodes Center, by the way, for folks that are familiar with Columbus, Ohio. It's the Rhodes Center down here at the fairgrounds. It's very reminiscent of, like, my high school.
Yeah, I take it you've been to the restrooms.
Yeah. You know what? For folks that don't know, I went to the door, and it says men, and then below it says step up. And for a moment, I thought it was like some social commentary on men not being very good fathers. I really thought that. And then I opened the door and I'm like, oh no, you really have to actually step up.
That's pretty freaking funny, though.
I swear. I'm like, oh, okay, social commentary. Got it. But
then after you go to the bathroom, it tells you that we're a step down. So it's abusive all the way around.
Indeed. Yes, it is. It's very, very. Men, we got to do better.
We do.
As a gender.
Do.
There you go.
I mean, my wife definitely took at least 12 steps down when she married me. So.
All right, well, let's talk about the projects.
That has nothing to do with the rehab program, by the way.
Oh, well, that's for another podcast. Anyways, so you have Zombie Fabulous. You have all of your catalog here. Anything new that you want to talk about? Anything in the works?
I can't really go into too much detail, but I am working on a sci-fi comedy comic books. I don't know, I think it's going to be a series. It hasn't quite let me know how long it's going to be yet.
Oh, okay.
But I'm almost done with the script for the first issue, and it's going to be really weird and funny, but that's going to have social commentary in it as well.
Okay.
I don't want to say too much.
Okay.
But, everyone who I have told about it has cracked up laughing and told me that I'm onto something, so I have hope.
Okay.
I had an idea for another dark and disturbing story, but you know, in these times that we're living in, I just couldn't bring myself to write anything more dark and disturbing. My soul just needed a break.
You know, that's interesting you say that. I never thought about it, how taxing that might be for somebody that does something a little bit more darker, like Zombie Fabulous, like Soccer Mom Killer and that. So that's a very insightful thing to say.
Well, every once in a while, my brain functions somewhat.
All right. Well, anyways, this experience at Space has been good. You got a new project coming up. Anything else you want to talk about real quick?
I have some new music on Bandcamp if people would like to check that out. It's also on Spotify. My band name is Shines with S with an asterisk, if I could say that word correctly.
You said it correctly.
In between the S and the Hines. And I've been writing some songs with a gentleman from Wales. We accidentally formed a two-man band from across the pond.
I think you talked about that on your last appearance on the PVD
cast.
I think so, yeah. So that's still going strong?
it's not going as quickly as it was because the guy that I've been writing songs with, his wife is pregnant and about ready to pop.
Okay.
So production has halted. But, but I'm still writing songs and sending him ideas. And, and he's a great sounding board. He has way better songwriting instincts than I do because he's a singer. And he'll bust my chops and very politely in this British, Welsh, whatever accent and tell me, you know.
I think it's Welsh. I think.
You have great riffs, but the arrangement could use some work. How about we add a bridge here and then get back? How about we get to the chorus sooner? And I'm like, you're right.
Well, but that's good, though, that he's not just, you know, accepting, you know, things that he doesn't think is going to make a good song. And you are open for those suggestions. That sounds like it's a good kind of marriage, for lack of a better term.
Right, yeah. And he sent me a song recently, too. And I told him that it was amazing, but it's too short. And he's not doing it enough justice that it needs to be a longer song.
Cool.
Because it was beautiful and catchy, but just way too short. And the world needs more of that. So. We need at least a minute and a half more of that awesomeness.
There you go. All right, plug your social media. Where can people find you?
Instagram is where I'm most active, at Stephen Hines, Stephen with a PH, 67. And that's not my IQ. That is just a reference to one of my favorite songs by a band called King's X. And I'm not 67 years old yet.
Yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know.
I'm going to live at least that long.
Yeah, I'm shooting for 102.
Ooh, I don't know if I want to go that far. 101 and a half.
Okay, that's all right. All right, Stephen, thanks, man.
No problem, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I'm sitting down with Jay Kalagayan. Jay, how is it going, man?
I am rolling. It's having a fun time at Space, seeing old friends. It's the first time Space is... gotten in person in 2 years, I think, 2.5 years.
Yeah, like it's been 2 years. It's been crazy.
So it's great to see Bob, and it's great to see all these great artists. I think there's like 100 artists at Space today, so it's wonderful.
And they're from all over. I talked to somebody that was from Los Angeles or somebody from Ontario, Canada. That right there,
international.
If you are going to cross the border,
yeah.
And go through all of that, I mean, seriously, I've heard stories from some of the Canadian colleagues that it's tough to get across the border nowadays.
Well, it's fun. I think that Columbus is a great comic book town. I think it's got a lot of creativity and it has a lot of fans for unique stories, which I think Space has. It's a lot of indie and alternative comics and scenes, and just really fills that niche.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think that you've talked about it, and many other creators have talked about it. You know, if you show up to Space and this is the first time you've ever been introduced to independent comics, you have a great plethora of things to choose from. Or if you're old school and you know, I like certain things, you're probably going to find it here at Space.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think you have your creators that were inspired by like superhero comics and they're continuing in that mode, but with their own spin. But then you have a lot of great zines and you have like music comics and just all sorts of subjects that you would never imagine could be a zine or could be a comic or could be a cartoon strip or one panel cartoon. And it's all covered here and it's great.
You know what? Let's talk about a comic that you probably would look at the subject material and go, what? And that is yours, Messed Comics. Let's talk a little bit about it for those folks that are they're ignorant of it. They have never heard you in one of your appearances on the PBD cast before. Fill us in.
All right.
What is Messed all about?
So Messed Comics is it's the nickname for the it's M-E-S-S-E-D. And it's the nickname for the Metropolitan Sewer District. And we have our star, our Lilliput. And she is kind of our unofficial tour guide to the weird, wet, and wild world beneath our feet.
And you did a lot of research for this book. I remember the very first time we talked, you explained that you actually went down in the sewers in your Cincinnati neighborhood. And got a real interesting education, I guess you could say.
With an MSD, Metropolitan Sewer District worker.
Oh, yeah. You didn't do it on your own. No, I mean,
not go into the sewers by yourself, especially if it's going to rain or has rain. Please, it's very dangerous.
Just don't go into the sewers, period. It doesn't matter if it's raining, not raining, if it's beautiful outside. Just don't do it. So
But I think whenever you're creating anything, you should do research. You should talk to different people, talk to people who are specialists in those fields. And I ended up interviewing probably about a dozen MSD workers, just talking to them about different aspects of the job. And one of the things I like to do with my writing is there's a science fiction embellishment, of course, but a lot of it is based off of the weird situations that I got from these interviews, talking to these men and women who are essential workers doing this unbelievably invaluable service. I mean, what happens when you flush? You don't know, but it's not coming back, that's for sure.
Right. Absolutely. And there's things, as you've mentioned before, there's parts of you know, sewers and that fall apart, and somebody's got to take care of them, and things get jammed up in there, and it's a pretty hectic job.
I would say, like, in Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, where I'm from, and I would assume in Columbus and even Cleveland, the sewer systems is, they're antiquated.
Yeah.
And, like, and people just, oh, this will be good for a 100,000 person population. Like, a million people later, we're still dependent on those systems with very little upgrade. So when you hear about an upgrade being necessary, believe them. They are telling the truth.
You know, and you have a couple of props, I'm going to call them, here at the table. Let's talk about them real quick. Nice.
So I got Akka the rat. Akka is Lilliput, the sewer worker. Lilliput's pet rat partner in slime. And so I have the squeaky rat at the table that I got from the dollar store during Halloween time. And it's just a great prop. I think with the tabling here, I think you should try and stick out if you can and just really tell people about your comics, not just assume they're going to know or assume they can pick up a book and just immediately know what it is. I think you need to, like, describe it to them and tell them why you are creating this book.
Mm-hmm.
And I try and do that when I pitch. And that's how I met you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you have these wonderful fellas, too. Talk about those.
Abby did created these amazing sewer worms. And they're half your height, I would say. Yeah. They're a good 4 feet. Well, because you're not 8 foot. Sorry, they're a good 3 feet. What are we talking about again? No, just kidding. So, like,
if I was 8 foot, I'd be in the NBA and making lots of money. But anyways, carry on, Jay.
You could have been the 8 foot hockey player, though. Yeah. Because I know you wanted to do some hockey. But anyway, so with the sewer worms, those are also a nice, great, fun prop. Because, I mean, we're in the entertainment business. So, like, I love when someone buys some comics, you know, they can get a selfie with a sewer worm or with a squeezable rat or, you know, that kind of thing. And just trying to make it a memorable experience.
There you go. Jay, tell everybody where they can find you on the internet and website and all that jazz.
Messed, MESSEDcomics.com, or on any of the social media, it's at Messed Comics.
There you go. Jay, thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I have run into a man that I haven't talked to, in many, many years. Yeah, I joked that it's been a couple of years, it has because of COVID. But, I mean, even before that, I'm talking about, of course, Matt Calvert. Matt, how you doing, man?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm doing well. And, by the way, this is independent artist Matt Calvert, not the NHL superstar.
No. We're not indeed in Manitoba or anywhere close.
True. Very true. So, talk to me. What do you got here at the table at Space?
Well, you know, as the COVID pandemic began, I found myself quite a bit of spare time. And unlike some people, I didn't watch TV, didn't take up new hobbies, but did as much work as I possibly could. I have 3 new publications on the table here in Space today.
All right, well, let's talk about them. Let's see. Frivolous Glamour would be one of them, correct?
It would be.
All right, let's talk a little bit about it.
I recently got quite a raise, quite a promotion at work, so with more cash on hand, I decided to indulge a bit bigger, more fine art project than I'd ever done before. So I have an illustrated poem a la William Blake. It is hand screen printed on colored paper, 2 different inks, 1 metallic. Figured I was worth it.
How's been the feedback on that project? As people,
my most successful project in Space history. We're almost sold out.
Really? Okay.
So we have the 3 copies on the table left, and that's it.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's talk about a couple of the other projects that you got here. I mean, I know, of course, you know, we have, of course, some of your previous work. Let's talk about that as well. Refresh folks' memories, if you will. I could say the word memories.
Of course. It is memorable, I hope. Yeah, my grad school thesis, When the Heart Betrays the Blood, I still have numerous copies of because I printed that in bulk. And I have four sequels to that.
Okay.
And those, the last one debuted at the Final Space, or what we were afraid might have been the Final Space in 2019. Those have been doing pretty well, too.
Good, good. How about St. Andrew's Cross?
That one, I believe we discussed in the past.
That's yes, we have.
I'm still proud of that one. It was supposed to be a feature in a magazine, like a single-page comic, like a front and back of a sheet of paper.
Well, let's talk real quick about your various different art styles. Yes. Okay, you're not maybe, I dare to use the term traditional, all right, because I don't want to offend anybody, but you're not traditional. You use a lot of different mediums, a lot of different ideas. Why do you purposely sit down before you start a project and go, I'm going to do this style of art? Or do you start mapping out the project and go, this would be great for me to do X, Y, and Z?
I typically start with an abstract idea, something kind of vague. Like St. Andrew's Cross was based on a guy that I met at my old job. He was a security guard. He would always give me strange pieces of advice. So the idea was, here's this weird guy who gives really strange advice. And I just extrapolated from there. As the series went on, it got stranger and stranger.
Okay. All right. So what do you have coming out here in the foreseeable future? Currently, got any new projects?
Currently, I'm writing a novel.
Okay.
That I'm a couple chapters into. I thought I'd try a pure prose piece because I never have before. I've received a lot of encouragement from people that I probably should indulge in writing for the sake of writing.
Can you give us a little sneak peek? What's the summary of the project or no?
The summary of that novel is, it's a college student interviewing her aunt who owns a daycare center.
Okay. And we'll just leave it at that,
we'll
huh?
We'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
That's the first chapter. That's the setup.
Okay.
It's about conditioning and how the world as kids understand it is constructed. And you can tell them anything and they'll take that and run with it.
Huh. Okay. Why'd you come up with that idea?
As I get to know a lot of people, as I'm getting older, a lot of people I know have kids. And as kids age, I realize how their world is centered on what their parents have told them. And that varies wildly on the parent.
Okay. All right, so a little social commentary involved in this tale.
I can't help myself.
Well, let's talk about where folks can keep tabs on you, whether it's website, social media accounts, stuff like that.
I'd go Instagram, Calvert Comics.
There you go. All right.
Absolutely.
Matt, it's a pleasure talking to you, dude.
Pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. I'm sitting down with, I guess you could say, the man of the hour, Bob Corby. Bob, you are, of course, helped to put on this fantastic space convention. How are you feeling right now?
A little tired. I was up at 4 yesterday and not that early this morning, but
well,
on the go.
It's got to feel good that, you know, we're back to some normalcy here.
Is that fair to say? Yeah, we've been putting this show, setting up a schedule on and off for the last 3 years, basically. That was the last time we were actually in person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to actually get that done and see a lot of people I haven't seen for 3 years. So
yeah, absolutely. And kind of at a new venue, and I'll use that term new loosely.
Yeah, we're Space 2000 2.0 here, because this was the very first location back in the year 2000. And we're lucky that it was available after we lost our old venue that we used for the last 5 years, the Northland Performing Arts Center, got sold to the county, and it's actually going to be used for some good stuff. The Harmony Project's taking over that, and they do a lot of work with kids and different music and choir kind of things. So I'm glad it's being put to a good use. But we might wind up back over there. Talk to them a little bit, so we'll see.
Okay. Obviously, everybody I've talked to has said that it's been a great show. That's Saturday, pretty darn busy. Today, pretty busy as well. So are you overall pleased with the show?
Yeah, I'm really happy. I was a little concerned about this location because it's paid parking.
Yeah,
and sure. That tends to stymie attendance. So, I think everything went pretty well. I almost ran out of t-shirts, so that's a good sign.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what's the goals for next year? Because I know we've talked before that you start within a few days of this show ending, right? You start kind of organizing and thinking about the next year's show?
Really, there's no immediate plans other than I'm going to start searching for a venue.
Okay.
When I set up here this year, I just lucked onto this opening. Mm-hmm. This is the week that Rock on the Range was supposed to be, but they canceled this year. And when they have that show here, it takes up all the parking, so they mm-hmm. don't rent out this space. So once they canceled that, this became available, and I was just lucky enough to be the first guy to figure out that Northland Performing Arts Center wasn't going to be available this year.
Okay.
So that was kind of a lot of coincidence happening that we actually wound up here. But they're telling me that they think they're all booked up for next year, so I'm not sure. You know, this location isn't available, so we've got to do some searching. So we'll see. Anybody out there know of anything? Email me.
There you go. Well, let's talk real quickly. Do you have any projects coming up? Because you know you have your O Comics, anthologies
I'm
and whatnot.
Doing a few shows this year. Two of them are art shows. And art festivals outside, so my prints and t-shirts are usually pretty big sellers there, so I have to reprint a lot of my t-shirts. I am also going to be in the CXC this fall.
Okay.
And I think it's the beginning of October, and I have the third book of my series plans started, so I'm hoping to get that done in time for that. And I was also working on a coloring book about my dragon Dre, so that might get done. I'm not sure about the other one, but
well, you're a very busy man.
Yeah.
Where can folks follow you on the web, like website, social media, stuff like that?
Website's backporchcomics.com, and Facebook it's just Bob Corby. On Instagram, I think I'm BP013. I think that's it.
Okay.
Or, yeah, it's probably BP013. So, I have a Twitter handle, but I don't remember what it is. I think it must be SpaceCon or something like that.
I think that is it. Yeah, I think it's at SpaceCon, actually. So, all right. Well, Bob, thanks again for putting on Space.
Well, thanks.
I'm going to speak for all the comic book fans and for everybody here. Thanks again. And thanks for sitting down and chatting with me for a few minutes.
All right, well, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Bye.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my many conversations with some of the great creators at Space for 2022. Again, if you get the opportunity, you heard where you can follow all these great people online or on social media, support them. They are your independent comic book creators. They are the ones that are bringing you some great ideas, some great stories, some great concepts. Give your support, all right? And with that, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you where you can get in touch with me in case you have a comment about this particular episode or any episode for that matter. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. You can shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is my email address. And you can even drop me a line on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just search for @PVDcast. Maybe you'd like to let some folks know where they can hear the PVD cast. Well, there's a bunch of different avenues for that as well. PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the easiest way to hear the PVD cast. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is put in PVD cast, and sometimes you have to put my name after it, into the search bar of your favorite outlet, and you should be able to find it. And as always, if you listen to an episode, please rate, review. If you do nothing more, then just give me whatever rating you think I deserve and maybe one or two sentences telling me if you liked or didn't like the episode. That's all I need from you. I really, really need it because obviously those particular outlets, those podcast apps, they track this type of data. The higher the rating, the more reviews, the better it is for me in the PVD cast. So if you can, please do that. And also subscribe so that you never miss an episode.
Hey, every Monday night through the Facebook page, I do a live broadcast of this week's episode. So there's even another way that you can enjoy my podcast, the PVD Cast. Again, just go over to the Facebook page at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every single Monday night, and you can hear this week's episode. And if you have some comments or whatnot, you can drop them in the comments box, and I will respond as I monitor the broadcast every single Monday. Once again, it's a lot of fun, so definitely check it out. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC. Copyright 2022.